I know, Peter, you wanted to go over some housekeeping items first?
Yes, indeed. John, good morning. Good morning, members of the appropriative pool. Welcome to the appropriative pool meeting on Thursday, April 9. Before we get to roll call, a few housekeeping items to note so that we can have an effective meeting. Please keep your phone on mute unless you are speaking, and then mute again when you're done speaking. We say this every time, and it's an important thing because it's very distracting for everybody else participating on the call. Please remember to introduce yourselves before speaking, and that's especially important for those making a motion or offering a second for a motion. For those participating whose names are not called, if you would like your attendance captured in the minutes, please email Anna Nelson directly. When it's time for confidential session, staff will pause the recording and will disconnect this go-to meeting, both the computer session and the conference call. You know that in your confidential session, you'll be dialing into a different number. Following the confidential session, only the phone call and the code listed at the top of each agenda will be turned back on. So if you look at your screen right now, you should be able to see there's a link for this go-to meeting, but there's also a conference call number and a code. That conference call number and that code is the only thing that will be turned back on following confidential session. And we'd ask that you give us a couple of minutes to send an email to all stakeholders notifying them that the pool is back in open session should they wish to rejoin. If anyone has any questions, we can begin the meeting. Please remember this is a regular meeting of the appropriative pool. Like all meetings, it is being recorded, and on your screen you should see the recorder functions which show the minute marker and the stop play buttons, so you can see those. That recording will be available, as all recorded meetings are available on our website as soon as we can get it up on the website. Does anyone have any questions?
Peter, could you this shot? Peter, could you just repeat the location of the number for the call-in? The confidential.
So for for the confidential, John, I do not have that. The number for the call-in for the confidential session should have been distributed to everyone by the pool leadership. And okay. That is so that we could keep the confidentiality of the pool. If you're not certain, John, that everybody in the pool has it, you may want to, John or Chris may want to send an email to your pool members only.
Okay. John Schatz, this is Chris. Eduardo sent out the number, and it's also included in the agenda that was sent out, but just in case, I'll go ahead and redistribute it to everybody right now.
Probably a good idea. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Good suggestion. Any other questions or how the meeting is running? We appreciate your patience. We tend to the business of the appropriative pool. However, this mode of operating requires a little more patience from everyone, and we go a little slower, but we'll get it all done. So with that, Anna, please proceed with the roll call of appropriative pool members. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Peter. So first on the list, Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water Company. CalMat Company. City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig, Anna.
City of Chino.
Dave Crosley.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
John Bosler.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Josh Swift.
Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely.
City of Fontana. Golden State Water Company.
Johnny. Hey, John.
Sorry, is someone on the line for Golden State Water Company? Aruba Community Services District?
Morning, yeah, that's Chris.
Marigold Mutual Water Company? Monta Vista Irrigation Company?
Van Gief.
Monta Vista Water District?
Van again?
NCL Company? Niagara Bottling Company. Not muted. All right, thank you. Continue on. Niagara Bottling Company. Nicholson Trust.
Chris Feely.
City of Norco. City of Ontario.
Katie Ginger.
City of Pomona.
Chris Digg.
San Antonio Water Company.
Brian Lee.
County of San Bernardino. Santa Ana River Water Company. City of Upland.
Stephen Ledbetter.
West End Consolidated Water Company.
Also Stephen Ledbetter.
West Valley Water District. Okay, that concludes the roll call.
All right, thank you, Anna. Peter, do we have any additions or reorder of the agenda from staff?
We do not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I do have one item that we would has been requested to move to the front, and that's poll member comments. So if we can take that item first. Do we have any members of the poll that would like to comment?
This is Justin Scott Coe, also saying that I'm present as alternate for Monta Vista Water District. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Just wanted to make a quick pool member comment on behalf of Monta Vista's. I'd like to remind the appropriate pool that we collectively requested a month's delay on Water Master stakeholder processes so public agencies who pay 97% of Water Master costs may not be prejudiced from not participating while they deal with COVID-19 public health crisis related issues. Due to the agendized items, we are being forced to attend this meeting. However, we are doing so under protest. Thank you for the opportunity to make that comment.
Okay, do we have any other poll member comments? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the consent calendar. Do we have a motion to approve?
Ron Craig, City of Chino Hills, moves approval.
Chris Birch, JCSD.
Okay, I think we'll just do this all in favor and then those opposed, and if we hear anybody, then we'll take it that way. So all in favor, say aye. Well, that's kind of hard to do, right, on the phone. Peter, what do you think the best way of handling this? Just those that are opposed?
Yes, I would say if, John, I would suggest for your pool to consider that ask for anyone to speak up if they're against, and then you can determine from that if you need to take a volume vote. If you do, we stand ready to do that.
Okay, thank you. So do we have anybody opposed to the consent calendar? All right, hearing none, motion passes. Let's move on to business items.
John, let me ask John Schatz, are you okay with that approach for your pool?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Otherwise, we'd have to do a roll call vote on every item, and we may have to do that on the business items, but I think for purposes of the consent calendar, that was fine.
Okay, let's move on to business item A, consideration of 2020 storage management plan.
Very well. The item has is accompanied by a staff report that's in the packet. The staff report, I think, does a fair job of describing the storage management plan development, along with its place in the overall process of the 2020 OBMP development, along with implementation plan development. In brief, the 2020 storage management plan was prepared with stakeholders' participation throughout the year 2019, and it follows on the heels of the storage framework investigation, which was done the year prior. The 2020 storage management plan addresses storage challenges that were identified in the storage white paper, which is included as an appendix to the 2020 storage management plan. The plan is part of the 2020 OBMP, and it is being brought to the board on its own at the request of the appropriative pool. Specific sections of the plan and outline of the plan, if you will, are summarized in the staff report. And a note for the pool is, as mentioned in the staff report, the 2020 storage management plan does not become operative without having an implementation plan approved, agreed to, and ordered by the court. Today, the pools are being asked for advice and assistance, and the recommendation for the pools is to recommend advisory committee support of the Water Master Board approval of the 2020 storage management plan.
Okay, do we have any comments from the pool?
I have a question. This is Katie Ginger, City of Ontario. Peter, you said that the storage management plan was being brought forward at the request of the appropriative pool. Could you expand on that? I think I'm a little confused about what you mean.
The appropriative pool unanimously adopted a motion at its special meeting, and it's following that motion that storage management plan is being brought forward today.
Okay, are you referring to the special meeting on Wednesday, April 1st?
Yes.
Okay, my understanding was that motion was that we didn't oppose Water Master bringing it forward, and I believe that the reason that conversation was had and that motion was brought forward is because it was our understanding that other parties, such as the Ag Pool, wanted this to be brought forward this month, and we made a motion saying that we didn't oppose that coming forward. Other parties want it, but I don't believe that request was initiated by the appropriative pool.
Well, Katie, this is John. Go ahead, Peter.
John, I was just going to share with Katie that my facts are different. The Ag Pool didn't ask for this. Nobody else asked for it, and I was going to just ask John to elaborate a little bit on how this came to be on the agenda today.
Yeah, I would say that the poll, we asked Peter to put it on the agenda.
Okay, that's not the action that came out of the pool, and if that had been the motion, I don't think it would have been unanimously supported.
Well, let's read the motion that was approved, then, if you want to go down this path.
Yeah, John, this is Josh Swift. I think that's a good idea. We should go back to the motion.
John Schatz, do you have that in front of you? I do not have it.
I think Katie has it. Maybe she can read it. I sent it to her last night. I can pull it up, but she may have it right there at hand. Otherwise, I can search my my file and pull it up. Do you have it handy, Katie?
This is Chris Diggs. I have the motion because I made it. The motion was, I move the appropriative pool not oppose Watermaster to agendize the storage management plan through the pools process and the board for its consideration. That was the motion.
And that was seconded by Fontana Union.
Correct.
Yeah, I actually have the language here. The language that was verbatim that was sent to Watermaster was Chris Diggs' motion and Josh Swift seconded that the appropriate pool not oppose Watermaster agendizing the storage management plan through the pool's process and to the board for its consideration. The motion passed unanimously with Monta Vista Water District, Monta Vista Irrigation District, and the City of Chino abstaining. So the motion did mention through the pools process. I think that's how it got here.
This is Brian from San Antonio. It was my understanding that someone else was requesting this move forward and that the AP was not, we agreed not to stand in the way. So that's why I voted for that motion.
Yes, that motion was modified, changing a word to requesting Watermaster put it on the agenda. That was changed to what I read, which was to not oppose.
Okay, does that answer your question, Katie, or?
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, it does, and thank you for those of you who pulled up the language for us. I just want to be clear about, I guess, why we're considering this and why it's being brought forward now. We can move on to discussion of the item.
Okay, do we have any comments from the poll discussion?
This is Justin with Monta Vista. Just wanted to express our appreciation for Katie making that clarification, which I think is very helpful.
Well, Justin, if I may, just for the record, I think the provision in the motion that Chris made, Josh second, it says through the pools process. So that would include agendizing for the pools. So I just want to be clear as to the process of how we got here today.
And what I was expressing appreciation for was the clarification that it wasn't a initiative of the appropriate pool to agendize. It's that the appropriate pool did not oppose it.
I think that's accurate.
Hey, John. That was a very helpful clarification from our perspective. Thank you.
This is Chris Burns from JCST. I wanted to say a couple things. I appreciate the hard work everyone's put into putting together a storage management plan. I mean, I know we've been working on that a long time. And although I know that we're maybe perhaps not all totally aligned on content and how that all lines in with everything, I am looking forward to the process that we're going through on working through the implementation plan and moving on to that next step. So I appreciate this moving.
Anybody else?
This is Justin. Is there a need for us to go into closed session for further advisement from our legal counsel on this item?
Yeah, John can, Schatz can talk more about that, but I don't believe so. We don't have any more information at this time.
Yeah, this is Josh Swift. I would agree with you, John. I don't know if there's anything more to discuss at this time.
Brian from San Antonio. As long as it's clearly understood that the AAP is not driving this bus, I think we can move forward.
This is Dave Crosley with Chino. I think it would be helpful to have the benefit of a closed session before the pool might decide to take a motion or take an action on this item. The closed session is scheduled to start in just 10 minutes. I think we can go into the closed session, have a discussion to whatever extent may be needed, come out of the closed session, and take action.
Yeah, and John and Peter, maybe you can help me with this, but I don't believe we need to do an action. We're just giving comments. Is that correct?
John, yes, my again, this is your meeting, and you can present the information as you want. I will just for the record repeat that nobody else asked for this item to go on the agenda, and this wouldn't be on the agenda had it not been for the motion of the appropriative pool. And I believe, again, for the record, Watermaster was clear, staff was clear at the Watermaster board meeting that we were not going to put the storage management plan on the agenda at the board meeting last month. And so it was put on the agenda for that purpose. And what it is that is on your agenda is not for you to necessarily take a vote on any one thing, but to express your opinions as a pool. Since as a pool, your parties individually cast their vote at advisory committee, I don't see the need or the value of a pool vote on consideration of the 2020 storage management plan. Staff's recommendation is based on the development and support for the 2020 storage management plan through its development is that you would recommend advisory committee support for Watermaster Board approval.
Okay, so I think that we'll hear comments right now on the plan, and then we'll go into closed session when we get to that item. And if we have any further comments, that we will report those out. Does that sound fair to the group? Okay, hearing not any further comments on this item?
Dan, from on this, I'd like to read three comments into the record if I can.
Okay.
First comment is Monta Vista disagrees of the effects of this is related to storage management plan, of course. Monta Vista disagrees of the effects of the storage activities on the safe field are addressed and mitigated by the safe field recalculation. If storage activities reduce safe field, those activities must fully mitigate this reduction so operating safe field is kept whole. The SMP should address how this real harm to OSY parties is fully mitigated. Comment two, the SMP seeks to prioritize local storage and storage and recovery program activities in management zones 2 and 3. Monta Vista disagrees with any prioritization of storage activities in specific basin management zones unless it is agreed to by the parties and ordered by the court. Last comment, the SMP does not clearly identify which water and storage is managed by Watermaster. For example, the SMP includes carryover and managed storage, even though carryover is not managed by Watermaster in any way under the judgment. Also, the SMP does not address preemptive replenishment nor include in it managed storage, even though there's water stored in the basin and subject to an agreement with Watermaster. Such are my comments for the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Van. Any further comments?
This is Brad Harima. Is it possible for Van to email a copy of those comments? I couldn't keep up taking notes. If they're going to be in the record, it would be helpful to have a written copy of it.
I'll email them to Anna.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
John,
Go ahead, Katie.
Okay. It seems to me that that Watermaster put this on the agenda in an attempt to be responsive to the applicable motion, but in discussing and re-reviewing that motion, the intent or the thought process behind that was not that the AP would initiate it, but that we would not oppose it. So there's confusion surrounding why this is on the agenda right now. I'd like to make a motion to delay this item to a future meeting.
Okay, do we have any support for that?
Well, this is Dave from Chino. I thought I understood what this was here for, and now I do not. So, again, I suggest that we have a discussion among our pool membership in a closed session so that we can learn what everybody's views regarding the purpose of this item for today are. Seems to me that we have different ideas, different understandings.
Okay, I agree with you, Dave, at this point. So let's move on to, let's come back to this item after closed session. Let's move on to item B, 2020 Safefield recalculation.
John, can I ask a clarifying question? This is Brian from San Antonio.
Yes.
Are we going to hold on Katie's motion and wait for a second until after closed session then?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it more in closed session.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the 2020 safe field recalculation.
Okay. We have a short presentation of information for the pool's consideration here on this item. The item is the 2020 safe field recalculation. The Watermaster staff and engineer have gone through and have performed the recalculation. So the next slide, please. We have, in terms of the safe yield recalculation for the basin, we have a time frame that was set out in the April 28, 2017 court order, and that time frame was to begin the recalculation by January of 2019. And have the recalculated safe yield ordered by the court by June 30 of 2020. So it will be effective July 1 of 2020. The order also included a prescribed methodology, which is a big plus for Watermaster and the parties because it makes it really easy to follow the process for how the safe yield was calculated. And not only for the, it lays out a roadmap for the engineer to follow, but also for the parties to know in advance of how the safe yield was calculated. There were opportunities for stakeholders to have input. We had one workshop in July of 2019, and that workshop in July of 2019 was intended to present, to discuss, and to receive input on the calibration of the groundwater model. And then another workshop was held in January of 2020, where the results of the calibration were presented and discussed, as well as the planning scenario was presented and discussed. And again, the parties had the opportunity to have input. So finally, in terms of the process, Watermaster retained an expert to do a high-level review, and I will have a comment on that scope of that at the end. I would like to have Mark describe the process that is prescribed in the court order and in a few slides to describe how he followed it. So with that, if I can have the next slide come up, and Mark, will you please take it away?
Thank you, Peter, and good morning, everybody. The safe yield calculation methodology used in the 2020 safe yield calculation is documented in a technical memorandum dated August 15, 2015, and was subsequently approved by the court in its April 28, 2017 order on the prior safe yield reset. Methodology includes five steps. First is use the data collected during the 2001 through 2009, 2010, and in the case of subsequent resets as we're doing now, in the recalibration process for the Water Master's groundwater flow model. Next is to use a long-term historical record of precipitation falling on current and projected land use to estimate the long-term average net recharge to the basin. Third is to describe the current and projected future cultural conditions, including, but not limited to, plans for pumping, stormwater recharge, and supplemental water recharge. With the information generated in the first three steps, use the groundwater flow model to redetermine the net recharge to the Chino Basin, taking into account the then existing current and projected future cultural conditions. And finally, qualitatively evaluate groundwater production at the net recharge rate estimated above will cause or threaten to cause undesirable results or material physical injury. We faithfully followed the court-ordered methodology, and our report documents this process. Next slide, please. This slide shows a free body diagram that illustrates the recharge and discharge components in a water budget. Water budgets are used in groundwater management pretty uniformly throughout the state. In the present case, it is used to estimate net recharge. All the recharge and discharge components shown here were considered in this investigation, and all the data required through 2018 to estimate them were collected for both the historical period used to recalibrate the model and for the planning period used to estimate net recharge and safe yield. Next slide, please. This slide shows a scatter plot that compares measured groundwater elevations on the horizontal axis to the calibrated groundwater model groundwater elevations on the vertical axis. The red line indicates a perfect fit. Note that for groundwater elevations greater than 500 feet, the points are tightly packed along the perfect fit line. The average residual, a residual being the difference between a measured observation and a model estimated one, is about 0.06 feet, essentially zero. And the R-square, or coefficient of determination, is 0.93. This means that the 2020 Water Master model, as calibrated, can reproduce 93% of the variance observed in the measured values. By professional standards, the calibration is very good. And in my professional opinion, we would characterize it as excellent. And you can see from the slide that we used 153 wells, 30,000 water level measurements to do the calibration. Next slide, please. The court-ordered methodology requires the use of a long-term historical record of precipitation falling on current and projected future land uses to estimate the long-term average net recharge. This chart characterizes the long-term precipitation over the Chino Basin area. For planning purposes, we use the 1950 to 2011 period, a 62-year period for planning purposes. The blue bars show the annual precipitation in inches for the historical observational record. The red line shows the cumulative departure from mean precipitation and indicates wet and dry periods. So the positively sloping red lines, so the increasing from left to right, indicate a wet period. Negatively sloping red lines, decreasing from left to right, indicate a dry period. The blue shaded area shows the annual precipitation and CDA of the cumulative departure from mean precipitation used to estimate the long-term recharge in the planning period. Planning period's average precipitation is identical to the 122 records shown on the chart. Climate change factors were used to estimate the future impacts of climate change on surface water flows and recharge. Next slide, please. court ordered methodology requires the use of current and projected future cultural conditions, including but not limited to plans for pumping, stormwater recharge, and supplemental water recharge. This chart shows a projected land use for 2040 for the Chino Valley area based on existing land use and updated with land use projections. Land use maps were prepared for historical and future conditions and used with surface water models to prepare long-term recharge estimates required by the court-ordered methodology. This map shows the general land use categories for 2040. The bar chart shows how land use changed in the Chino Basin from the late 1940s through 2017 and how the land use is predicted to change through 2040 and the corresponding increase in impervious area. The red bars show the increase in urban uses and the reduction in agricultural and native undeveloped land uses. The increase in impervious area with land use change has the effect of reducing recharge. Next slide, please. Pumping projections were provided by the parties, except for the ag pool. Pumping projections for the ag pool were developed based on historical pumping and projected land use changes. Replenishment was projected using a methodology developed for the prior safe yield recalculation and updated and vetted during a 2018 storage framework investigation and the development of the 2020 storage management plan. Recycled water recharge is based on IEWA projections. Next slide, please. Chino Basin response to the current projected cultural conditions and long-term hydrology were estimated with the calibrated 2020 model. This chart shows the projected net recharge time series for the period 2019 to 2050. The average net recharge for the period 2021 to 2030 is 131,000 acre feet. This is the period for which we're estimating safe yield. Next slide, please. We evaluated MPI and undesirable results from the projected pumping, recharge, and storage management activities. Specifically, we looked at groundwater levels, pumping sustainability, new land subsidence, and hydraulic control. This map shows the projected areas of new land subsidence concern for 2030. Areas of concern are indicated by white areas, and areas susceptible to new land subsidence are indicated by red areas. No areas were projected to be susceptible to new land subsidence through 2030. There are projected pumping sustainability challenges, but they are mitigable. The hydraulic control is achieved and maintained throughout the planning period. Next slide, please. Based on the work reported in the 2020 Safe Yield Recalculation Report and following the court-ordered Safe Yield methodology, we have the following recommendations. The Water Master should recommend that the court set the safe yield at 131,000 acre feet per year for the 2021 through 2030 period. Deviation from the projected cultural conditions will likely occur if the state mandates reduced ET adjustment factors as described in report section 7.3.3. On the state's promulgation of reduced ET adjustment factors, Water Master should evaluate the significance of any resulting change in cultural conditions. And if cultural conditions are judged to have changed such that the safe yield would be changed to 2.5%, Water Master should move the court to reset the safe yield accordingly. In 2018, laws were enacted to reduce urban indoor and outdoor water use that have the effect of reducing irrigation in all urban areas. All emphasized. And that in turn reduces the recharge to the basin. So the environmental, ET adjustment factors in the Chino Basin are currently around 1, with a value of about 1. And these factors will be reduced starting in 2023, ratcheted down over time, and could be reduced by half by 2030. Peter?
Next slide, please. And a reminder, if I can ask everybody who's on the phone to please mute their line. I'm getting some background noise. It sounds like a mouse clicking or something. Thank you. Finally, a note for the parties is that, as noted in the staff report, Watermaster engaged an outside expert to do a targeted review. Since the methodology is pretty well laid out, we tried to balance the need for an external review, of course, with being appropriate in the way we use resources. But we thought that since Watermaster in this methodology is required to rely on the groundwater model, it would be good to have someone look at the model itself. And so the scope was really narrow, down to 2 questions. And the questions were whether the model meets generally accepted industry standards, and that whether the application of the model and that the safe yield evaluation has been consistent with prevailing professional standards. And the opinion that we received from Mr. Halligan from Ludorf Scalmanini was affirmative on both of those questions. And we also got some recommendations from him which do not pertain to the safe yield recalculation. Those will be described to the parties and the board in the coming meeting in the future. Next slide, please. So with that, that concludes the presentation of information that we wanted to bring to the pools. We are looking to have the Watermaster Board move forward in fulfilling its duty to the court, and we are asking the advice and assistance of the pool committees and advisory committee on the safe yield being recalculated at 131,000 acre feet with an evaluation of the effects of any adjustment of the evapotranspiration adjustment factors, as Mark mentioned. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
All right, do we have any questions for Peter or comments?
I have a question. This is Katie Inger. Do we know approximately the timeline for when the state may issue the ETAS?
Go ahead, Mark.
They plan on DWR should be producing these at the end of fiscal 2022. So the state board is supposed to implement them in 2023.
Thanks.
A note on those is that they are being evaluated. There is a public comment process. We strongly encourage the parties to actively engage in the rulemaking process of the State Water Resources Control Board. And if the parties want, Watermaster is happy to assist in this effort. We do think that there is a potential that will, over time, over 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years will have a negative impact on net recharge to the basin. So it's appropriate to bring it to your attention now.
This is Brian from San Antonio. Is there any reason why we can't take, we have a model that we can project future issues, can we just take what we propose, what we think the state's going to propose, or close to what the state's going to propose, and see how that impacts the basin, so we get a feel for where we may be headed?
We can certainly do that, Brian. We we're trying to walk a fine line. We don't want to be endlessly running the model and making projections. So the recommendation here is, let's participate in the state's process. Second, let's see where they end up. And then at that time, let's take a qualitative look. And if we think at that time that it's going to have a significant impact, then we'd spend the money to do modeling runs. If the parties want to do more earlier, we're happy to do that.
So again, Brian, I would be more supportive of maybe not now, but at some point as it gets closer to run the model so we know what the impact is and we can be prepared with educated discussion at the state level.
Understood. And I think we can, if that's a sentiment that's supported broadly, we can expand the second recommendation to be a little more aggressive in that regard, or we can just take it on as a work item. Again, our intention for this is to do a qualitative evaluation, but we could do more.
Any other comments?
John, this is Ron Craig. Just a quick question for Mark or point of clarification on the approach you took and applied relative to climate change. That was consistent with the way the state is applying their formulas for climate change as well?
The short answer is yes. And a clarification would be that BWR has produced a methodology that those who are doing groundwater sustainability plans can use. Not everybody is using it. We use the method that BWR has put out there for the GSPs.
Very good. And I just asked that to point out that we are consistent with that in a fashion that should further support it in our basin staying equal to or ahead of the directives from the state. So thanks for that.
This is Justin. A couple questions for Mark at this time. Why was the long-term hydrology, why did you only go back to 1950 for long-term hydrology? I believe the rules and regulations from the court order, 1921, if I'm not mistaken?
You're correct on what it says. And the reason why we started in 50 and ended in 2011 for planning purposes, there's two parts. The first part is that we began to lose confidence in the ability to project precipitation over space. As you go back in time, there are fewer gauges you can use to do the interpolations. And we sort of did a qualitative assessment of that and came to the conclusion we probably felt pretty good about 2050. The climate change factors are only available through 2011. And as it turns out, if you reflect back on that cumulative departure from mean precipitation chart, the period of time for which we're doing that has the same average precipitation as that long-term record does.
Thank you. Second question is, why are we using the 10-year period for estimating safe yield? I thought the methodology and the language in the rules and regulations of the court order require the use of long-term hydrology for that estimation.
In my practice, we make projections for 10 years. We are using long-term recharge. So we take that period from 1950 through 2011, and we use daily rainfall data on the land use for any specific year and the other cultural conditions of that year, and we estimate what the average recharge would be from that 62-year period on that particular land use and set of cultural conditions. And we do that all the way out to 2050. So each year is seeing a long-term average recharge.
but the calculation is based on tenure, and you're saying that's based on practice, not based on methodology?
I don't want to mince words with you. You know, the last time we did it was 10 years. The judge approved the methodology as it was written and that 10-year period, and we're applying it for a 10-year period this time.
And I guess my last comment is, in terms of process, my understanding is that we've had over the 1.5 year process, roughly, or maybe 1.25 year process, starting January 1, 2019. We've had two stakeholder meetings, both focused on the technical aspect of the redetermination rather than anything in terms of policy. To my knowledge, there have been no stakeholder discussions about the safe field reset methodology, especially regarding cultural conditions and undesirable results. As I remember, we had extensive discussions the last go-around on those topics. Now we've been presented with a 576-page report this last Friday. And speaking just for ourselves as one party, we have not had the time to review and frankly can't say anything of substance at this time, and cannot say at this time also, especially with the COVID situation, when we will be able to provide substantive comment and response to that report. So I guess my question is, when is this coming through the approval process, and will time be given for parties to fully review, deliberate, and hopefully discuss issues associated with probably the most important element of the judgment and our stipulated agreements?
Justin, this is Peter. Great thing about the order from 2017 is it's a big help to everyone, so that there isn't unnecessary time spent on reviewing the methodology or how we go about calculating the safe yield. And so that order, by having the technical memo and the methodology ordered, it greatly simplifies the work that needs to be done. And in our opinion, the level of review that the parties need to expend. It basically becomes a straight-out technical exercise, which Watermaster has gone through. Watermaster has a duty to reset the safe yield. We have a time frame with which we need to do it, and at this time, our intent is to take it, as stated in the board, in the staff report, take it to the board at its meeting on April 23rd.
This is Brian from San Antonio again. And Mark, do you have any way of telling me how much control or how many variables the appropriate pool members have control over, the input variables on the model?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Brian.
But in other words, you adjust the input to affect the output. And if we're projecting forward, the appropriators have certain control over some of the input. How much control over that input do we have that would impact the output?
Thank you for that kind of clarification. I guess the word control is, I would use the word influence. Certainly, you're pumping. The amount of water you pump affects the yield. How we do replenishment, by pulling water from storage, using it for replenishment, affects the yield.
And a follow-up to that would be, we gave our pumping numbers early on. Do you believe those were
the high end, low end, middle, and I know that would be, you would be guessing on what we were thinking at the time, so I'm not sure you're willing to give an answer that you want to stick a flag in the ground with, but just my concern is that we're being provided one output, and my history with model runs for future projections is that we look at highs, lows, and middle. Would you be willing to state that this is a middle ground projection, a low ground projection, a high ground projection for future safe field?
Brian, I have no opinion on that.
I'm fair enough. I can accept that. Any further comments? All right, hearing none. That's all you need from us, correct, Peter?
That's right. We'll take any advice and assistance. We'll try to answer any questions. We'll be happy to answer any questions as long as there are any. Otherwise, yeah, that's all we need.
Okay, then let's move on to go ahead. Can I jump in one more time? I, from my standpoint, the advice would be that we provide the appropriate members an opportunity to review the report and provide any maybe adjustments to the input on the model and run another round, at least one more round, so that we can see how those inputs adjust what the output might be. That would be my advice. Whether the AP wants to take it up or not, I don't know.
Well, this is Justin. I just would, you know, support our past comments that we've not had any time to review this report, so there's just no opportunity to provide substantive comments for the board to consider in, I guess, approving this report. They've had an opportunity to review the report. So this element of the process is still a bit of a mystification to me. Hopefully that can be reflected in some way.
This is Katie Ginger again. Along the lines of what Brian was saying, and also Justin as well, the appropriate clause engaged technical consultant Tom Harder to assist us in an understanding and following this process, and it's my understanding that he still has some outstanding questions. So my request to Watermaster and Watermaster's engineer would be to give him the information that he is requesting so that the appropriate pool members can better understand the report.
Understood. I was not aware that Tom was asking for information. Mark, do you know if Tom has asked for further information?
I do not. There were some questions that were asked at the last colleague/peer review meeting that we had on January 27, and those responses are included in an appendix to the report.
If there are other requests for information by Tom, we're not aware of them. Be happy to hear what they are.
All right, we'll circle back with Tom and have him reach out if he has additional questions. Thank you, Peter and Mark.
Thank you.
All right, so I think we are going to move on to item 3. Unless I heard somebody just come back on again. Reports updates. A, legal counsel report.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. Nice to speak to you all via GoToMeeting this morning. I hope everyone's doing well. A couple brief reports. The first is that the San Bernardino County Superior Court, the presiding judge, has issued an order which effectively reschedules all non-emergency matters through April 30 of this year.
And there are some emergency matters that are described in the court's order. I can circulate that order if it would be helpful. In addition, non-emergency filings are not being accepted by the court clerk at this time. I'm sure we will have another order or some clarification from the court before this before the April 3 timeframe expires. And on my second item, there had been six motions on calendar for hearing on March 20th. Earlier in the week of March 20, we received an order from the court indicating that those were all taken off calendar at that point indefinitely. We've received a further minute order from the court indicating that those have all been continued and rescheduled for June 26th at 1:30 p.m. in Judge Riker's courtroom. And I can list those six motions if it would be helpful. I think you all are relatively familiar with what was on calendar for that date.
Okay, any questions for legal?
This is just a very quick question, Brett. Under paragraph 30 of the, or paragraph 31 of the judgment, that's the review processes for Watermaster. Is there any effective tolling of those review time periods under paragraph 31, I believe, subsection C, in regards to requesting court review of Watermaster actions?
I'm not sure I quite understand the question in regard to the tolling, Justin. Paragraph 31C says the time of motion to review, the time for a motion to review Watermaster action shall be served and filed within 90 days after Watermaster action, unless it pertains to the chip, in which case it's 60 days.
Yes. Would that effectively extend those time periods by 30 days?
The court's order indicates that all of the days through April 30 are considered holidays. That usually means is that you don't, if you're supposed to file on one of those days, then you go to the next day. I don't know that it necessarily extends the 90 or 60 day period, unless the 90 or 60 day period was supposed to end during the period between, I think it was March 16 and April 30. But I'd have to take a closer look at that.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Brad, this is Shawna Grady. The Judicial Council also issued some emergency rules that extend statute limitations for all civil matters that you should take a look at as well. I'm not sure how it answers the question previously asked, but it makes sense.
Okay, Watermaster is not planning to file anything that, I've not been directed to file anything that is affected by these changes. So if you have questions about your own pool filings or your own agency filings, I would recommend consulting with your legal counsel.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions for legal? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the engineer report.
Good morning, everybody. This is Andy Malone. My first topic is the maximum benefit annual report, and I have a short presentation on the annual report. Just as a matter of background, as many of you probably know, the maximum benefit program is a program where the regional board granted the Watermaster and IEWA relaxed groundwater TDS and nitrate objectives for the Chino North management zone, where most of your recharge occurs. And what that enabled was the maximum reuse and recharge of recycled water in the Chino Basin in a cost-efficient manner. In exchange, the Watermaster and IUA made nine maximum benefit commitments. And if you can go to the next slide, I list those out. I've combined the first two into one, so it's only eight shown here, but number one is actually two, which is groundwater and surface water monitoring programs. Many of these other commitments relate to things that you've already done and you have completed, which are expansion of the desalter programs, completion of the recharge facilities for CBFIP, and a number of the others relate to managing recycled water quality. We're in the midst of a salinity management effort right now to try to change number five on this list, which is managing IUA's recycled water quality. And then probably the most famous of all these is the achievement and maintenance of hydraulic control. And so in the annual report, we have a number of figures that I'm going to go over with regard to demonstration of hydraulic control. If you can go to the next slide, please. We demonstrate hydraulic control in a couple of different ways. One is with measured water levels, and just to give you a little bit of background on the definition of hydraulic control, it's the capture of groundwater flowing in Chino North Management Zone, which is shown in the orange color here. Capture of that groundwater flowing from the north to the south by the Chino Desalter well field, which is shown in the white squares here. And every 2 years in the State of the Basin report, we make groundwater elevation contour maps, and you're seeing that here with the green lines, which are demonstrating the capture of this groundwater flowing from the north to the south by the well field in the eastern portion of the Desalter well field. In the western portion, we have partial capture of that water, but not total and complete. So we demonstrate it with measured groundwater levels in this case, and we also use the model that Mark was speaking of earlier to recalculate the safe yield. We've used that model on a go-forward basis to evaluate hydraulic control. So if you go to the next slide, these are model results for the year 2030, and you can see these similar green lines, which are the equal elevation contours of groundwater elevation, and then we've got a number of these vectors, these little arrows that show the direction of groundwater flow. And again, this is showing in the year 2030 that the eastern part of the well field is doing a good job of complete capture of the groundwater flowing from the north to the south. But on the western portion of the well field, we have some groundwater that is migrating past the well field and continuing down into the Prado Basin area, where it can discharge as rising groundwater to the Santa Ana River. Our definition of hydraulic control is the leakage past the well field has to be less than 1,000 acre feet per year. And so with the model, we can estimate what that leakage is. And if you can see that orange line there, that is a cross-section that that we estimate with the model how much groundwater is leaking past the well field into the Prado Basin management zone. And if you go to the next slide, we estimate that on an annual basis for a historical period through our that's model calibration that you're seeing there from about 2002 forward, and then our projections out into the future up to 2050. We are estimating anywhere between 400 to 700. Acre feet per year, which is less than the 1,000 acre foot per year metric that we're trying to meet to demonstrate hydraulic control. So these are our methods. This report, once it is filed with the regional board by April 15th, we will be posting that to the Water Master's website under the engineering reports for maximum benefit, and all historical maximum benefit reports are shown there. Any questions on hydraulic control in the maximum benefit program? Okay. My next report is on the annual report for the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee. This report is part of a monitoring and mitigation requirement for the PEACE 2 SEIR to ensure that our groundwater management plan does not adversely impact the riparian habitat in the Prado Basin. There's a committee of stakeholders that convenes at Water Master to oversee the program and make recommendations. We are in the process of working on this year's annual report for water year 2019. We plan on publishing a draft report for comment and review by the committee by April 29th. And thank you for bringing up the schedule here. This is a schedule that shows when deliverables are due and when we're going to be having meetings. And so April 29th is when we plan to publish the draft report. We have a couple of weeks for review and comment by the committee. By May 13th, we're expecting comments. And then the final report will be published by June 4th. And my last item is on the SGMA reporting requirements for water year 2019. As an adjudicated basin, the Water Master has an annual reporting requirement pursuant to the SGMA. Information for water year 2019 was submitted to the DWR by the April 1st deadline. Just wanted to report that to you. The report was approved by the board last month. It included information on groundwater levels, production, surface water use for recharge, total water use in the basin. We use the model to estimate a change in groundwater storage over the last year. And we also included Water Master's most recent annual report. I'm happy to take any questions on the report.
This is Dave Crosley. Andy, would you go back to the last slide that you presented for the maximum benefit annual report item?
Sure.
Thank you. I just wanted to take another look at it. It came off the screen a little too quickly for me. That's all I need. Thank you.
Anything further for Andy? Okay, I hope that was a bird in the background, Andy, and not your chair or something squeaking.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
Okay, then let's, there's no CFO report. Let's move on to the GM report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the pool. A few quick items for the pool's information. The first one is related to the OBMP in general. Specifically for the 2020 OBMP, I wanted to let the pool know that we are planning to bring that forward to the board in May. That, as everybody knows, the 2020 OBMP was developed through the year 2019 and has been finalized and distributed on January 24th. We'll be bringing that to the board for its approval in May and, of course, present to the pools an advisory for any further advice and assistance. Specifically on the implementation plan update, we did listen to what the appropriate pool asked for and hit the pause button on the planned drafting sessions for the implementation plan update, and so we postponed the March 30 session. We also had a session on April 6th, and we postponed that as well. So if the pool is interested in resuming the implementation plan update drafting sessions, we are available and willing to assist, and we would suggest that Monday, April 20 would be the next reasonable time. That also goes past the 30 days that the pool asked for seizing any stakeholder-driven processes. So we offer that for the pool's consideration, and we'll wait to hear any feedback you may have for us on that. Regarding the agricultural pool contest, the hearing officer has heard from the council for the appropriate pool as well as the agricultural pool, and has set a hearing date on June 16th. We have issued a notice on his behalf that the contest hearing will happen on that day, along with a pertinent schedule for filing information. And finally, I'd like to ask Edgar to give an update on water rights permit reporting and compliance with SB 88. Edgar?
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. I hope you are keeping sane, safe, and healthy. I'm here to report about the progress on the permits that Watermaster holds in trust of the parties, that is, three permits for diversions that are used for recharge of storm water. The first permit is the oldest one, which is 1989-5. That covers the Day Creek system from November 1st to April 30th of every year. And the second permit is the 27-5-3 that covers the San Sabin Creek from October 1st to May 1st. And the third permit is 21-225, which is the most junior permit that covers all the systems for the remaining of the dates that the other two don't cover. The State Water Board earlier sent an email saying that all entities that have obligations for reporting are still on the hook for those obligations, so we are complying on time. These permits were submitted on March 28, which is before the deadline of April 1st, and we will continue to report progress on these diversion permits every year as scheduled. I don't know if anyone has any questions.
And if there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the GM reports.
All right, thank you. We move on to item four, information, groundwater level monitoring committee staff report. Is on page 94, and the Chino Airport and South Archibald Plumes reports are on page 99. Any questions on that from the pool? Okay, hearing none. We already had pool member comments. Is there any other business for the pool? All right, hearing none. Then we will go into confidential session. We already had the line set up, so if you could call into that line, it will probably start maybe 5 minutes.
You need your computer or the line.
And we will let Watermaster know when we are out.
This is Dave. John?
Yes.
May I ask the indulgence of the pool to start the closed session discussion at 10:30?
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
All right, we will see you at 10:30.
Question, if you can start the recording.
Recording started.
Okay, thank you. We do have a reportable action from item 2A, the consideration of 2020 storage management plan. We are also emailing this action to Watermaster, so they'll have it in writing. But we voted to recommend advisory committee support Watermaster board approval of the 2020 storage management plan, storage management final report section 2.1-2.6 as a storage management plan, providing guidance for the preparation of the desired documentation. So a couple words were changed there from the original recommendation in the staff report. That was voted on. We had three no's: Monte Vista Irrigation District, Monte Vista Water District, and Ontario, City of Ontario voted no to that. We do have a couple of comments we'd like to make as well. One is the appropriative pool is working very hard on the implementation plan, and we are making progress. We are trying to get an item done by the end of April. I know Peter suggested having a meeting on the 20th, I believe, or 21st of April. We want to have that moved to sometime in May when we're ready to move forward with the implementation plan. Again, we're making great progress on that, and we want to have something from the pool before we go forward with the group meeting. And then the last item, I'd like to have Katie, she'd like to say a few words to the group.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I had the opportunity to share with my colleagues in closed session, and I wanted to share an open session as well for anyone who may be on the call, as well as Water Master staff. I just wanted to let everyone know that I will be moving on from Ontario and the Chino Basin probably towards the end of next month. My husband matched into a residency position outside of Denver, Colorado, so we'll be moving. And I'm very sad to go. I will miss all of you. I will miss everything that I have learned. I really, really have appreciated working with each and every one of you, and I hope I get a chance to say goodbye in some fashion, probably remotely, before I take off. So thank you all for welcoming me into this family for the past several years.
Thank you, Katie, and I know it's difficult to do over the phone. I wish we could all be in person to say our thanks to you. But thank you for the efforts you made and for the appropriate poll and advisory committees.
Thank you.
All right, with that, this meeting is adjourned.